Today's shiur is Masechta Kitten Daf Pei Zayin. We will begin on Daf Pei Vav Amid Beis at the Mishnah towards the bottom of the Amid. Says the Mishnah, Shnayim Shesholchu Shnei Gitten Shavim. If two individuals sent Gitten and they had the same name, both the men and the women had the same name, V'nesarvu, and then the Shliach confused the two Gitten, not remembering whose get was from who, was for whom. Says the Mishnah, the halach is nois nishnaim lazu, nishnaim lazu. They both Gitten should be given to each woman, and therefore, continues the Mishnah, the fikach of the echemahen, if one of the Gitten was lost, teaches us the Mishnah, then haray a sheni bottle, then the second get is invalid because we don't know whose get is who. So when we give the get to each wife, we don't know with which get she's actually being divorced. The Rishonim and Achronim discuss what will be the din when we're giving these two Gittin to the two wives. How should they be done? Should be given at one time both Gitten, or should they be given separately? Most Paiskim, starting with the Mashal, say that the two Gitten should be given separately. And a number of reasons are given. The Marivayel explains that they should be given specifically separately, because if they're going to be given at one time, there is a concern that people will say that the two Gitten, that woman will believe that only one of the two Gitten is effective. By giving both Gitten separately, she pays attention to each get separately. Another explanation, which is given by the Ramah, is because if the two Gitten are given at the same time, it's a situation of Yesh Breira, where we have to retroactively decide, is the get valid or not? And we don't rely on Breira. Although Einig Yontif disagrees with Ramah and says that this is not really a situation of Breira, because really Breira says that it only becomes obvious later on. Here it's just the opposite, he says. All along we knew, at the beginning we knew which get was good. It's only later that the get becomes, we don't know whose get is for whom, and this is therefore not a situation of Breira or not. Others, the Beis Shmuel says that, as we're going to learn later in this sugya, one get should not be used for two individuals. So too says the Beis Shmuel, giving two Gitten at the same time has the same concern. However, from the Rambam, as the Mefarshei HaRambam seem to learn, it seems that the Rambam holds that the two Gitten should specifically be given at the same time. And the reason the Mefarshim explain, because the Rambam is of the opinion that each get itself only creates a situation of perhaps a suffix at best. And to effect a divorce, a vada gerushin, a definite gerushin, has to be accomplished. And the way a definite gerushin is accomplished is by the gitten being given together. Another interesting question, which is actually the subject of a machlokes rishonim, is if the get was given, if only one get was given. And as the Gemara we just learned explains, you have to give both Gitten to both wives. What would be the halach if only one get was given to a wife? So the Ran says that she will be Sofik Mugereshes, because perhaps the get she got was her get, and therefore she's divorced, or perhaps it's not her get, and since we have a Sofik, she's in the category of a Sofik Mugereshes, Sofik Eidem Mugereshes. The Rambam, however, holds that if only one get is given to the wife, she's not considered Mugereshes at all. And the Mefarshim, the Marcheshes, and other Mefarshim try to understand the explanation of the Rambam's opinion, because certainly she should be a Suffolk Megureshes, because maybe the get she get, she got, is actually the get that is her get. So answers the Macheshes to explain the Rambam's opinion. He says that we have learned earlier the concept of a shliach. The Gemara Masechta Ksuba says that one could tell a shliach l'tikuni shidatich v'loy la'afsi. I sent you to cause me benefit, not to cause me harm. And that's exactly what the Gemara means here. What the Gemara means to say, says the Rambam, says the Macheshes to explain the Rambam. Here, as we just finished learning, we're referring to a situation that a shliach is delivering the get. And the shliach, who's supposed to be giving both getin, by giving only one get, will actually be causing this woman harm, be causing the husband and wife harm. And that we could say, and therefore his shlichus is entirely not considered a shlichus, and because it's not considered a shlichus, she won't even be a sofek megureshes. Continues the Mishnah. Chamisha shekosvu klal b'toch get. If five people wrote a get with one common text, which says, Ish ploin megarish ploinis uploini ploinis, this man is divorcing this woman, and this man is divorcing that woman, ve'edim lamata, and their edim sign at the bottom of this document, kulan ksherim, all the gittin are considered valid, and all five couples are divorced. However, if you're not saying, l'kalachas v'achas, the get has to be given over to each and every woman separately. The Mefarshim discuss who owns the actual document. Isn't there a halacha that the actual document has to be left with the woman? Here, if there's one document which is shared by all these women, how is it possible? So the Divrei Yecheskel explains, is as long as the get is given over properly from the husband to the wife, doesn't make a difference, says the Divrei Yecheskel, if she holds on to the document or if she even owns the document. The entire purpose, and the Chazon Ish says the same vart, as long as the husband no longer owns the get and he gave the get over to the wife, the get is considered a valid get. And the Torah explains that the woman who's holding the get is holding it on behalf of all these other women, and therefore when any of these women will need proof that they are indeed divorced, they will give it to the woman who needs that proof to prove her divorce. However, if we have a situation of Haya Kaisav Typhus Kalachavekot, when there's a separate typhus for each one of the couples, the Edom Amata, and the Edom that's signed on the bottom of this document, Asha Edom in the Kriyama, the clause with which the signature of the Edom is read is kosher, only that get is a kosher get, and the other getin are not. And the Mitzvah Shem, soon in the Gemara will exactly identify what is considered a situation of klal, and what is a situation of typhus. Ask the Gemara, Man Tana, who is the Tana of the Mishnah? Rav Yirmiyah, says the Gemara, it seems that the Tana of our Mishnah is like Rav Elazar, doesn't follow the opinion of Rav Elazar. For we learned in the previous year, the Rav Elazar is of the opinion, Kim the Omer, Edom Siri Karti, that Edom Siri are the ones that cause the divorce to be effective. Here, Halayada Bahai Minayim Megarsha. Since we're not sure which get, we go back to the first case of the Mishnah when the two gitin were mixed up. So this woman receiving the get at the moment of Mesiras HaGet, we don't know which get is the get that is going to affect her divorce, and therefore it should be considered a situation of ineffective Mesira. And if it's ineffective Mesira, that Rabbi Elazar, who holds that the Mesira is so crucial, that's why this get will not be an effective get. Says the Gemara, because halayah died behind megasha. We don't know which get is affecting the divorce. Says the Gemara. So ask the Rishonim. Before we go further, ask the Rishonim. We discussed in the previous year the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, and we quoted a machloikis harishonim. And when Rabbi Elazar says "Eid Mesira Karti," what does he mean? Does he mean that you always have to have "Eid Mesira," or does it mean that you could have the "Eid Mesira" are effective, but "Eid Chasima" are also effective? So ask the Mefarshim, according to the Rishonim that hold that according to Rabbi Elazar, when he says Eidim Sira Karti, it's not to suggest that Eidich Sima aren't effective. So why is Rabbi Yirmiyah asking a question from our Mishnah Rabbi Elazar? Maybe our Mishnah is referring to a situation where there were Eidich Sima. Shouldn't this be a proof to the opinion of the Rishonim that Rabbi Elazar says you must have Eidim Sira and you cannot rely on Eidich Sima alone ever? So the Ramban says that our Mishnah is not a proof to that opinion. Because the Ramban says, even if Rabbi Elazar agrees that you can rely on Eidei Chasima, certainly the Gemara is saying that according to Rabbi Elazar, it's clear that the Nesinas HaGet, the giving of the get, is a crucial part of the procedure of giving the get. And therefore, the Gemara is suggesting that certainly Rabbi Elazar will hold that it has to be given over properly. And therefore, if we don't know which is the get that is affecting the divorce, Rabbi Elazar should hold that's not an acceptable situation. The Ritva has a different explanation. He says that since Rabbi Elazar holds Eidei Mesira Karti, even if he'll rely on Eidei Chasima, Rabbi Elazar will hold that the Eidim, we have to have some sort of Eidei Mesira for the situations, for Gzeira, for the situations that we're relying on the Eidei Mesira. And that's why Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking a very obvious question. Here, the Mesira is a difficult Mesira because we don't know which get is affecting the divorce. Says the Gemara, Abai Omar, our Mishnah could still follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Because I feel a time Rabbi Elazar, Ema, the by Rabbi Elazar, Ksiv Lishma. What Rabbi Elazar requires is that the writing be given, done Lishma. There is no reason that the Nesina has to be done Lishma. The Nesina Lishma Mibai, he doesn't require the Nesina Lishma. That's not what the Torah required Lishma. And that's why Rabbi Elazar will agree with the din of our Mishnah. So as we just explained when we learned the second part of our Mishnah, the Mishnah differentiates between a situation which is known as a klal, where there the Mishnah is saying that the get would be, one get would be effective for a number of couples, whereas the situation of typhus, one get would not be effective for a number of couples. Ask the Gemara, Heichi Dami Klal and Heichi Dami Typhus. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan explains, Zman Echad L'Kulan, if there's one date for all five sections, Zeh Klal. But if there are separate dates for every one of the sections, Zeh Typhus, and it's not effective. Rishlokish has a different explanation. Afilu Zman Echad L'Kulan, even if there's one date for all five sections, Nami Havi Typhus, it could still be considered a situation of typhus. If the document speaks about each couple separately, even if they have one date, it still will be considered a typhus. Ela hechidami klal. So according to Rish Lakish, what is the situation of klal? The cause of that the get is written in a very general way. On our Pliny, Grashnu, Nishasena, Pliny. There's one big sentence that says, we the following five men divorced our wives. Maskel of Rav Abba. So Rav Abba first the Gemara will analyze the opinion of Rav Yochanan. And then the Gemara will analyze the opinion of Rish Lakish. Maskel of Rav Abba. Rav Yochanan am zman ech l'kul and zeh klal. That there's only one date, that's a klal. Ask the Gemara, Leichishtum kachas misahadi, but if we have five clauses, and there's one date on this document, Why are we not concerned that when the Edim sign at the bottom of this document, they're only signing on the last clause, as we have such a concept? If somebody wrote a get to his for his wife, and he instructed the cipher that on the bottom of the document he should write that he's sending regards, was asking how certain people are doing, and then the Edom signed below that clause, the get is possible. For we say, that all the witnesses signed to was to the Shelah Shalom clause, to nothing else. So why here too don't we have the same concern that when Edom is signed, maybe they're only signed on the bottom section, on the last section, the last divorce, and their signatures have nothing to do with the previous four clauses? Answers the Gemara, Lav et Malo, have we not learned that Amr Ravuah, L'idei Mefarash Leminei Rabbi Yochanan, when is the Braisa have this concern that the Edom are only signed on the last clause? If Shalom Apostle, if this last sentence about the Shayla Sholem is not connected with a Vav Achibur, with the Vav that connects it to the previous clause. However, Vishalu, if the Shayla Sholem is connected with a Vav to the previous clause, then everybody will agree that the get is a kosher get. Because that's clear that the Edom are not just signing on that last sentence, on that Shayla Sholem sentence, they're signing on the entire get. Hachanami, here too, the various clauses of this document are connected with Avav. The Ksibei Pliny, 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 and since they're all connected, that's why it's considered a valid get. Ask the Gemara, the Su, another question on the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yochanan Amiz Manal Kol Echav Echad Zer Taifas, that if there are separate dates for each section, that's going to be considered a Taifas. Ask the Gemara, Mayuri Mishim Taifas, why are we saying that it's disqualified? Because it's a situation of a Taifas, it should have a different disqualification. But typically, Davalei Nichta Beyoin V'Nechtem Belayla. And as the Rishonim explain, Nichta Beyoin V'Nechtem Belayla is another way of saying that the date, the get has to be written and signed on the same day. And therefore, here we have, they explain, a legitimate concern that the Gittin were not signed on the same day. And if the Gittin weren't signed on the same day, then the get is a possible get. Answers, because Al Gemara at this point says, is assuming that there are different dates for the different sections, and the Edom didn't sign, the only Edom are only signed once. Answers the Gemara, Amlei Makshish Bereder of Chizda Ravashi, as Mepharshim explained, Rav Chizda had two sons that both had the same name. So to be able to distinguish between the two of them, he called one Mar Kashisha and one Mar Yanuka. And I saw two explanations in the Pshat, in the Mepharshim, how to understand it. One Pshat is that the older son was called Mar Kashisha, the older son, and the younger son was called Mar Yanuka. But another Pshat I saw is just the opposite. Rav Chizda, the son that he had first, while he was still a young man, that son he called Mar Yanuka, because Rav Chizda was saying, I was still young when you were born. The other son, who was born when Rav Chizda was older, Rav Chizda called him Mar Kashisha, reflecting that Rav Chizda was older when he was born. So Amalei Mar Kashisha v'reid Rav Chizda Rav Ashi, Hachamim Shmeid Rav Yochanan, Tiksibu, B'chad B'Shabbos, they all had the same date, and therefore there's no concern that the date, the get was written on one day and signed on another day. So as the Ritva summarize the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you have to be considered a situation of klal. You have to have each clause for each divorce separately, but they have to be connected with a vav, and that there has to be the same date for every one of the clauses. That's how the Gemara explains the opinion of Reish Lakish. Now the Gemara begins to explain the opinion of Reish Lakish. Amalei Ravina Larvashi, L'Reish Lakish Amma, Zman Ech L'Kulon Nami Taifasavi. According to Reish Lakish, even if there's one date, it still could be a situation of typhus. According to Rish Lakish, what is the case of Heichi Domi Klal? What will be the case of a Klal? The Ksibe Hochi. If the get was written in the following way, Anor Pliny Pliny, Grashnan Shesenu Plinus Plinus. One big statement saying that we, this group of men, divorced this, our wives, this group of women. Ask the Gemara, how could that be a valid get? Nimtzu Shnei Noshim Mizgashes Begerechod. Isn't this a situation of two women getting divorced with one get? That Torah Amrin, the Torah says, V'chos of law, the law of Eloi L'chaverta, every woman that gets divorced has to have a separate get. So how can one get be effective for a whole group of people? Answers the Gemara, the way Rish Lakish is going to explain is that it starts off with this general clause, but then the Hadakasiv, then there are separate clauses, Pliny Girish Plinus, or Pliny Girish Plinus, where they're separated. There's a machloikus rishonim. If the machloikus of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish is certainly regarding what is considered a typhus, or do they? How about what about a klal? Will Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish agree or disagree? So the Rambam says, it's from the Rambam it seems that Rabbi Yochanan will agree to what Rish Lakish considers a klal. There are other rishonim that have a different view, and they seem to feel that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rish Lakish not only in what is considered a typhus, but also what is considered a klal. So the Gemara is referring that first there's a general clause, and then there's separate clauses. I saw the Paiskim discuss, here the Gemara is teaching us that one get cannot be used to affect a divorce for a number of women. And this question comes up in other areas of halacha. For example, the question comes up, I saw a tshuva from a Moshe, if a person is a person who's hired to say Kaddish on behalf of people who don't have family to say Kaddish on their behalf. Can one person say Kaddish on behalf of more than one nifter? So a Moshe has a very interesting reasoning why it's acceptable. He explains that really Mi'ikar Hadin, and it is still the custom in certain communities, the Kaddish is not said by all the Yosayimim. Every Kaddish is said by a different person who has a Chiyuv. Says Rav Moshe, from there we see that the Chiyuv Kaddish is really only to say one Kaddish. So here, this person who's saying Kaddish on behalf of a number of people, and he lives in a community where everybody says every Kaddish. So every Kaddish he's saying for a different nifter, and that's why there is no concern. However, I started the Paiskim also to discuss a question like this. Let's say somebody accepted upon himself that he's going to fast every Monday and Thursday. And then Yom Kippur comes out to be on Thursday. Does he have to fast separately? Or could he fast Yom Kippur and it'll really be considered the fast of Yom Kippur and the fast of the Thursday? So the Ikri Hadat and other places can all say certainly that will be considered that he's fulfilling his nether. Similarly, I saw, let's say somebody has, somebody accepted upon himself that every Shabbos he's going to learn a Daf Gemara from a Sechta Shabbos. And he also accepted upon himself to learn the Daf HaYomi. So when we in the Daf HaYomi are learning Masechta Shabbos, and he's learning the Daf HaYomi in Shabbos, could be considered that he's fulfilling both obligations, or does he have to learn a separate Daf on Shabbos? And there too the Paiskim say that it's acceptable that the same Daf can take care of both obligations. So now the Gemara is learning that one document cannot be good to affect two divorces. Amalei Ravina Larvashi, Umayishna Maharatanya. We learned the Brice that Kaisukon the Chosu Lishnei Avodov. If somebody writes all his property to his two Avodim Kanu, they each acquired half of his possessions, Umashachran Zazah, and they should free each other, because each one owns now the half of the other. So we see that one document is effective. And as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, there's a Gzeres Shava of law, which teaches us the halachas of Ishtar Shikur and the halachas of a Get Isha are the same. So we see that one Ishtar Shikur could affect the freeing of two Avodim. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Brice, that there was one shtar. V'lava kimna. Have we not explained that that Brice is referring to shnei shtars? Because indeed, one shtar would not be acceptable to affect two emancipations. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavosid Rabbi Yochanan, there's a Brice that supports the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, and Tanya Kavosid Rish Lakish, there's a Brice that supports the opinion of Rish Lakish. Tanya Kavosid Rabbi Yochanan, Chamesh Shikosu B'toch Get, if five people wrote in a get, Anoi Ploini Begarish Ploini, or Ploinis Ploinis, or Ploini Ploinis, V'zman Echad L'kulam, there's one date, V'edim L'mata, and Edim is signed on the bottom, Kulam K'sherim, they're all the getin aval getin, but to nasu lekalachas v'achas, they should be given to each wife separately. Zman lekalach v'achat, but if there's a separate date for each section, ve'edim l'mata, as she'edim nekroyimah, the get with which the edim are read, the bottom section is kosher, is a kosher aid, and the other ones are not kosher. Yudavim seiroimah, and the Tanakama, as the Rishonim explained, is the opinion of the Tan of our Mishnah, as Rabbi Yochanan understands him. Rabbi Yehuda ben Seiraimer, Im Yesh Revach B'nei Impossel, if the space between the sections, then the upper sections are possel, V'lav, but if there is no space between them, Kosher. What is considered space? So the Rishonim say, if there's enough room for somebody to sign his name, that is considered a space. However, the Ritva says, if there's a Vav, as we explained earlier, connecting the sections, says the Ritva, that even Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamer will hold, even if the space between the sections, it still will be fine. Shein's Mam of Sika, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamer, writing a date for each section alone does not separate the sections. Tani Kavosid Rish Lakish, there's a Brice that corroborates the opinion of Rish Lakish. Chamish Kosu Klav Atoch Glat, if they wrote first a common text, and not Pliny Pliny Girash Nishasena Pliny Plinus, Pliny, and then they continue writing Pliny Girish Plinus or Pliny Girish Plinus, V'zman Echel Kulan, there's one date, V'edin L'mata, and the Edin Masan at the bottom, Kulim K'sherim, all five Gittin are considered valid Gittin, V'tinos L'kolach Sfachas. However, if the Zaman L'Kalech Vech, there's a separate date, V'Revel K'Lech Vech, and there's a space dividing the sections, V'Edim L'Mata, and then there are Edim signed on the bottom of this document, Esh Edim Nekroima, the clause with which the names of the Edim are read, which means the bottom clause is Kosher. Ramei Oimer, Ramei says, Abish Ein Revel B'Neim, even if there is no space in between them, Posel. Shazman, separate dates, Mafsikon, separate the sections. Ask the Gemara, Rish Lakish might Iriyaz Malu Kalech V'Echad. Ask the Gemara, according to Rish Lakish, what does the Brice have to say? That the each upper section is not considered a valid get because there is a separate date for every one of them. Ha'amar, Zmalu Kalech L'Kulam Nami Taifas Havet. Even according to Rish Lakish, even if a document contains only one date, but there are five separate sections, it's still going to be considered a situation of typhus, answers the Gemara. Hani mila hecha dilemma mina makara. When does that then apply? We didn't have that general clause at the top of the document. Aval hocha divar mina makara. Here the document began with the general common clause. So now we have ostensibly a situation of a klal. Teaches us the Braisa. E polgluzman. If he wrote separate dates for each section, in they're considered a typhus, they're considered separated, and only the bottom get will be valid. Eloi, if he first wrote this common clause, and he doesn't have separate dates for each section, then it's not considered a situation of typhus light, it's considered a situation of klal, and all five gittin are valid. As we're going to learn later in the shir, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, signatures on a get do not necessarily have to be in Lashon Kodesh. Signatures on a get can even be in Yevonis, in Greek, in other languages. Although I did see that the Chronim point out that even if you're using not Lashon Kodesh to sign a get, the Pais can point out it could only be valid in a place, in a country where that language is used. In other words, Lashon HaKodesh is valid everywhere. Other languages are only valid in the countries where those languages are spoken. And as we're going to learn the sugya, like Rashi explains the Mishnah and the Gemara, the difference between signing in Hebrew versus signing in Yavanis is as follows. If somebody signs in Hebrew Ruvain ben Yaakov, Ruvain is the name of the witness, Yaakov is the name of his father. If somebody signs in Yavanis Yosef ben Shimon, Shimon is the name of the witness, and Yosef is the name of his father, even though the name Yosef is mentioned first. So says the Mishnah, Shnei Gittin Shekasim Zevet Tzedzeh. If you have two Gittin that are written one alongside the other, two pieces of paper, one on the right and one on the left, V'shnei Edim Ivrim Bo'am Mitakazel Atakazel, and the name of two Hebrew signatures go from right to left, Ruvein Ben Yaakov and Kahos Ben Levi. So the word, the name Ruvein and the name Kahos appear below the right hand get, and the name Ben Yaakov and Ben Levi appear on the left hand get. Says the Mishnah, as she'edim and rishonim nikroim ma, v'shnei edim yivanim, I'm sorry, continues the Mishnah, and now we have the signature of two Greek witnesses, Yosef ben Shimon and Yachziel ben Naphtali on the two bottom below that. So now in this case the name of the aid appears on the left hand get. Says the Mishnah, as she'edim and rishonim nikroim ma kasher, the first set of witnesses, the right hand get is a valid get and the other get is not. Now we have a situation of Eid Echad Ivri Ve'Eid Echad Yivani, Eid Echad Ivri Ve'Eid Echad Yivani Bo'am Mitachazel Atachazel Shneim Psuim. And again, we're going to explain the Mishnah as Rashi explains it. Here the two Gittin, again we have long side one the other, and the way they're signed is as follows. We have the first line Ruvein ben Yaakov. Then below that, on the second line, below the left hand get, and that's in Hebrew. We have now signed in Yavanis Yosef at the end of the second line, Ben Shimon at the beginning of the third line. Then we have in Hebrew Kahas, which is the son, Ben Levi, the father, going for Kahas at the end of the third line, Ben Levi at the beginning of the fourth line, and in Lashon Kodesh, and then in Greek, the fifth line has Yachziel, which is the father, Ben Naphtali, which is the son. That's how this get is written. Here, says the Mishnah, Shneim Psulim, both get not considered invalid. Ask the Gemara, in the first case of the Mishnah, why don't we say that both Gittin are valid? V'leskasha hai b'Ruvein. Why don't we say the first line is Ruvein ben Yaakov? So the Gemara is suggesting that Ruvein is a valid signature and ben Yaakov is a valid signature. V'leskasha hai b'Ruvein. This get should be valid because it's signed with the word Ruvein, and this one should be signed with the word ben Yaakov eid. The Tanan, as we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, ben ish ploini, having some aid, but if one signing his name is Ben Yaakov aid, it's kosher. So why aren't both Gittin kosher? One get will be kosher because it has the name Ruvein and the name Shimon under it, and the other get should be kosher because it has Ben Yaakov and Ben Levi under it. Answers the Gemara, if the second get indeed had it signed as Ben Yaakov, or had it signed as Ben Levi, it would be a kosher get. But here, what happened was, the kosher of Ruvein ben akama. Under the first column, the word ben applies. For Yaakov aid, and Yaakov, the word Yaakov and aid alone appear abasra under the left-handed get. So since the father's name and aid is the only thing under the get, that's why it's not a kosher get. Tosfos points out, if the word aid has to appear together with the signature. So the question is, why is the second get a good get? The second get should not... why is the first get a good get? The right-hand get, it doesn't have the word aid. So answers Tosfos, even though the word aid doesn't appear under this get, but since it appears on the same line, it's enough to be connected to the word, to the name Reuven, that it should be considered that the word aid is there. Ask the Gemara, why can't we say v'hai l'skasha hai b'Reuven ben? Why don't we say that the right hand get is a good get because it has Reuven ben and Shim and Kohas ben under this its get for l'skasher, and the left hand get should be kosher with the word Yaakov aid and Kohas aid, because as we're going to learn, Ish plenty aid, if somebody just writes the word Yaakov aid, Kohas aid, kosher. Answers the Gemara, the Lord Kohas of aid, because he didn't write the word aid at the end of the line. And only if you write your name and the word aid is it a valid signature. But if you don't have the word aid after the name, it's not valid. V'bayis Eima, La'olam, the Kohas of aid. The word aid does appear there. However, the Adina B'Hach Sima, we know that this signature, the Lab de Yaakov Hu, it's not Yaakov's signature. We recognize that it's not Yaakov's name appears under the left-handed get, on the left-sided get. Kohos name appears under the left-sided get. And we know that Yaakov and Kohos, this is not their signatures, and that's why the get is not a valid get. V'dilma, ask the Gemara, B'shma davu chosim, why does that disqualify the get? Maybe the son, Reuven, signed his name by using his father's name. So what the Gemara is questioning, as the Rishonim explained, is that the right side get, he used his own name to sign the get. The left sided get, he used his father's name to sign the get. Answers the Gemara, Loi chosim inish, Shmei v'chosim shma davur. It's inappropriate that a person will use his will not use his own name, but rather just use his father's name to sign a get. Says the Gemara, v'dilma semani shavya. Maybe he won't use his father's name as a signature, but he'll use his father's name as a simon, as a symbol. And as we learned earlier in our Masechta, a symbol is a valid way of signing a get. As we learned, the Rav Tzayakavra, Rav used this, drew a fish instead of signing his name. Rav Chanina Charusa drew a plum branch. Rav Chizda made a samach. Rav Oishe made an ayin. Rav Bar Huna Tzay Machusa would draw the sail of a ship. And it says the Gemara, Lechotz of Inish L'shavil Shema Davu Simona. A person will not use his father's name as a simon to sign a get. It's interesting to point out that I saw that the question was asked of Rebbe Yoshev. Here our Gemara is telling us that we don't actually have to use a name to sign. We could even use a symbol. So I saw the question was asked to Rebbe Yoshev, can fingerprints be used as a valid signature? And Rebbe Yoshev said the fingerprints can certainly not be used. And he said as follows. He says, even though our Gemara is teaching us that you don't have to actually use a signature, the halacha still remains that you have to write something. A fingerprint is not considered writing anything, and therefore it's not considered a signature. It's not considered a signature. Ask the Gemara, but why is the lower set not going to be valid for the left-sided get? Let the right side get be kosher because of the two Hebrew signatures. Let the left side get be kosher because of the Yevani signatures. As we learned, the Tanan, as we're going to learn, get your kosher Ivris, Eid of Yevanis. Even if the get was written in Hebrew, but the Eidim saw in Yevanis, or vice versa, Yevanis for Eidis Ivris kosher. The Chitema. If you're going to tell me the reason that we can't rely on the left-sided signatures, to the names of the sons on the left side, because there's the break in between them of the Hebrew signatures, Kim the Muflagination Shitin, there's a separation law, says the Gemara, when is a break an issue? only melu b'kroiv, only if it's empty. But if you put in other names, even if those names are names of kroivim who are not kosher witnesses, it's kosher. Answers the Gemara, indeed, Hatani Ziri Shneim Ksherim. For this very reason, Ziri said that both Gittin would be kosher, not like what our Mishnah said. Our Tana, how will he explain the Mishnah? Dimla Gundel is Chosim. We have to be concerned that this person acted in a non-usual manner. The word gundelus, Rashi says, means somebody who acts not regular. It says gundelus is another way of saying somebody is a lefty. Most people write with the right hand, he writes with the left hand. And even though, as we explained at the beginning of the sugya, typically when somebody signs in Yevonis, he writes his father's name and then his name, and therefore we would say that the name on the left side is his name. Here, the person might have not followed the normal course, and he wrote his name on the right side. If he wrote his name on the right side, then the left side hasn't got the name of any aid, and that's why the left, and we have to be concerned that that's the case, and that's why the left side, the Kulakat, Udasimi, all the signatures appear below the right side and not below the left side, and that's why the left side again cannot be kosher. The Meiri explains that the word gundelus means a person who copies, and that's very good pshat here. That even though this person signed in Yevonis, he was copying the Hebrew fashion of signing a get. Continues the Gemara. The case that we described at the end, one, first a Hebrew signature, then Yevani signature, Hebrew, Yevani. Ask the Gemara, but why isn't this get kosher? Because you have one Hebrew witness and one Yavin witness under each get. The Tanan, as the Mishnah is going to teach us, you can combine Erech Ivri Ve'erech Yevani kosher. And says the Gemara indeed, because of this question, Hatani Ziri Shneim Ksherim. V'tani Don, our Tana, why does he say that this is not kosher? Because again, Dimel Gundelus Chosim, we have to be concerned that maybe the person who signed in Greek did not follow the normal fashion of signing in Greek. He wrote his name before his father's name, and we're going to have a situation of Tlas Achad, three signatures beneath one get, V'chad Achad. And as Rashi explains, that we have to be concerned that either the first or second Greek witness reversed his signature. And Rashi goes on to explain, if the first Greek witness signed not in the normal fashion, writing his name beneath the second get, and then his father's name beneath the first get, so then we have a problem that the first get is not proper, because only the name of the first Hebrew witness is signed, whereas the name of the second Hebrew witness and the two Greek witnesses appear beneath the second get. And on the other hand, if it's the second Greek witness who signed unconventionally, then we have a situation that the second get is not properly signed, because only the name of the second Hebrew witness is signed below it, whereas the name of the first Hebrew witness and the two Greek witnesses appear below the right get. Since we don't know what happened here, we have to invalidate, says our Mishnah, both getten. Shear mixes a get. And one left over part of the text of the get, the Kosma Daf Hasheni wrote the remainder on a second column. The Edom Lamata, and the Edom signature appear below that, Kosher, the get is a valid get. Kosma Edom Barosh Daf, if Edom sign on top of the column, Minet Sad, or on either side of the text, on the Akrab get Poshel, or behind, not on this get Mekosher that we discussed, then it's Poshel. Hikav Rosh Shalzeh, Bitzad Rosh Shalzeh. If somebody has one get on top of another, so we have the second get we see from top to bottom, and the upper get is put upside down. Then, and the witness sign, the Edom Emtsin, the witness sign between these two Gittin, Shneim Psulim, both Gittin Apostle. Sofer Shalzeh B'tzad Sofer Shalzeh. However, if we have the Eidim Be'emtso, we have one get on top of another get, there the halach is Esh Eidim Nekroimimoy Kosher. The bottom get is a kosher get. Rosh Shalzeh B'tzad Sofer Shalzeh the Eidim Imoy. Here we have a situation where we have one get where the Eidim signed below it, and then we have another get with no Eidim signed below it. The halach is Esh Eidim Nekroim B'Sofer Kosher. The upper get is kosher. Get Shekasev Ivris. If a get was written in Hebrew, we just discussed this at length in the previous sugya, the Eid of Yevonis, or Yevonis, the get was written in Yevonis for Eid of Ivris, at Eid Echad Ivri, Eid Echad Yevoni, in all these cases, or Ksav Sofer V'Eid, or if we have a get that was written by a Sofer and signed by one Eid, the halach is kosher. And in fact, from here, the Paiskim say, since we see that the handwriting of the Sofer could theoretically be considered, at least the Pashup Shad in the Mishnah, as valid Eidus, that's why the Paiskim say that we should be careful to not ask a Sofer who's a relative and would not be a kosher aid to write a get, because the Mishnah is suggesting that the Sofer's handwriting may be considered an Eidus on a get. Similarly, the Panim Yafa suggests that just like Eidim who sign a document that has in it a ribis clause, that has in it an interest clause, invalidate, what do you call it, are also over the vera of Leisus Simon Olav Nefshach, because they participated in such a shtar, same thing would apply regarding a Sofer who wrote such a document that he would invalidate. He would be, if a Sofer wrote a shtar that has on it ribis, that Sofer is considered, according to our Mishnah, the same as an aid, and would be considered that he did the Aveira of ribis. Ish Pliny aid, if a signature says the name aid, kosher. Ben Ish Pliny, the son of somebody aid, also kosher. Ish Pliny, Ben Ish Pliny, v'loy kosher of aid, he didn't write the word aid, kosher. That they did not write the word eid, because according to Rashi's explanation, what the Mishnah refers to the Niki Adas, the prominent people in Yerushalayim, what the Mishnah means to say is that they were careful to be as concise as possible, and the word eid is not necessary, and therefore they didn't have the word eid in the shtar. Kosov Chanichosoi v'Chanichosoi. There's two ways of learning it. They wrote the husband's surname, family name, the wife's family name, or another pshat is they wrote the nickname of the husband or the wife, is kosher. And according to Tosfos' explanation, this is what the Nekiya Hadas would do. The Nekiya Hadas would, since they were so prominent and so well known, they didn't write their names. They only wrote either the surname or the nickname, and that was good enough. The Paiskim point out that in a normal document, before the name of the signature of the aid, there should be the word Nu'um, which means the signature. In a get, we don't find that requirement. And the Cheshek Shleim explains why. In a document, in a regular document, it's the Eidim who lend credibility and validity to the document. And that's what the word Nu'um represents, that they're creating this document. On the other hand, a get, it's not the Eidim who create the validity of the document. The validity of the document is created by the husband having the get written on behalf of his wife. The Eidim are only there for a raya. So since it's not they who create the power of this document, we don't need the word Nu'um before their names.